What's up, fight fan? You're listening to MMA Daily, the podcast where we bring you the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. It is Monday, May 13th, 2024, and this week's episode, Mixing Things Up in Paris. We'll talk about a very fun UFC St. Louis and the victory by Derek Lewis over Rodrigo Nascimento. We'll talk about the chatter around town, some fights being moved around, some fights under speculation, and a lot more in between. And then finally, we'll talk about this weekend's UFC main event, Edson Barboza taking on Lerone Murphy, and Bellator Paris featuring champion Patchy Mix taking on Magomed Magomedov for the second time. My name is Gabriel Gonzalez, and I'm joined by my co-host, Natalie Zamudio.
Double G, happy Monday. Let's get to it, man. How you doing?
I am good. Once again, we talked about it off air, but a happy belated Mother's Day to
you.
Oh,
yeah. And,
thank
you.
You shared with me something, and you let me share it on Instagram. Your son doing those little questionnaires that they do in early schooling, and just to let the people know, he wrote, you know, what is my mom good at? And he wrote her podcast for Talking Fights. Oh, my God.
Yes,
I showed that to a few people. It was like, oh goodness.
Yeah, it was very sweet. The other ones were, what is your favorite food? Beef, which, you know, accurate.
It's like, it's not wrong, right?
It's not wrong. It's not wrong, sir. I love beef in all forms. Yeah. And then he thinks I like to clean a lot, which was very interesting. So
it's like, you know, liking it and doing it a lot.
Totally, yeah.
You know
totally.
What? When you're young, you can be fooled. I can see that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even clean that much, honestly. So it's like,
in his world, it seems like a lot when you're smaller.
Yeah, it's a long time. Anyway, yeah. Thanks, man.
But no, I showed that to a few friends. Look, I get it. We're not the Joe Rogan Experience over here. So if it's not for all that is, I'm glad it's for something like this. So I was really happy to see that and read that. It picked up my day.
Nice.
Let's talk about this past Saturday, UFC St. Louis. I get it. We're coming off a pay-per-view. Dare I say it, I think fans are still a little hungover from UFC 300, even though today is a month. But this really, the crowd made the difference, and really, the fighters popped off. Let's cap it off. Derek Lewis. Rodrigo, I thought, came in very well prepared, looking to just kind of slow down the beast. If anything, I was actually surprised at how many grappling exchanges there were. It kind of felt for a bit there that they may actually like to keep it on the feet, and it felt like Rodrigo really wasn't intimidated by all-time knockout leader, which, mind you, is exactly the kind of mentality I think you should have, no matter who is across from you.
Yeah.
That being said, Derek Lewis did Derek Lewis things. He's on the ground and he just kind of has that subtle grappling ability where it just seems like he just gets up when he wants to get up. I thought he just managed his energy in the fight well. Found his opening. I believe that was the third round. Catches Rodrigo. And look, when a guy like Derek Lewis gets a bit of the temple, bit of the chin, things just seem to happen that don't happen for other heavyweights. And he put down Nascimento for the win with quite the celebration. But what were your thoughts on the fight?
Yeah, levels of celebration just kept upping the ante. The fight itself was fine. You know, with Derek Lewis, you're always waiting for that moment. And so anytime he threw a big punch, whether it missed or not, the crowd's like, whoa. I think it was Bisping that made the comment at the end of one of the rounds where Derek Lewis had reversed the position on the ground. And he said, he took the words out of my mouth, which is, you know, when Derek Lewis is on top of you, the ground and pound will probably be the end of the fight. But Nascimento had lots of time on top or controlling Lewis on the ground and didn't do much with it. Lewis is somehow sneakily able to just, you know, avoid being finished in that way. That's pretty cool. But as soon as Lewis's coach at the end of, or the start, in between rounds two and three, told him, listen, stick to striking, not just two punches. We want three, four, five punches. You're hurting him. You have a nice jab. And Lewis obliged, came out and whacked Nascimento hard. The sound was wicked, right? It was like baseball bat home run kind of a thud. And, you know, he got the win, finished him, gave him Bambi legs. And then, yeah, the levels of celebration. Take off the shorts, wave them in his over Nascimento's face. You know, the cup, whoever that poor reporter is that got the cup.
I feel like they ran with it, but I'm going to just say right now, I don't care if it's Conor McGregor. A cup ever gets thrown at me, I ain't touching that. I don't care if it's gold-plated, 20 carat,
if it's
none of that.
You would just clean it with some hand sanitizer.
Nope. You know what? You know, sometimes it's just not about the money. Anyway.
Yeah. You don't need to secure the bag that badly, right?
I know, right? You know what? I'm okay with my lot in life. I don't
secure
need it.
Secure the cup. Come on.
And look, I mean, the shorts came off. He did. To be honest, I'm surprised he doesn't have some kind of branding thing. Like, hey, bro, if you win, say this and we'll give you some money. Like,
yeah.
I almost expected, like, the brand sponsorship right there, like going to Disneyland kind of deal. I don't know why he felt the need to take off the second set of shorts, but you know what? When you win like that, I guess you could do whatever you want, right?
Yep.
I think the thing that shocked me the most about the celebration, and I will, it's kind of like adjacent, but the reporter who got the cup then asked Dana White to sign it. And there's video evidence that he did.
Wow.
Did
he use a long pen so he could stay far away?
St. Louis, man. I mean, hey, I like to think St. Louis, they scratched out the Louis version and put St. Louis.
That's funny, yeah.
That was ESPN MMA, once again, well done. That's why you guys are awesome. So, look, fun fight. The thing with Derek Lewis is that really with the heavyweight division, it could be any of them, right? It feels like it could be, you know, sometimes he's right there for a title shot. Other times it feels like he's in the middle trying to work his way up. And he's fought so many of the top guys. I don't know that anyone necessarily stands out to me in this moment. I would say, okay, Sergey Spivak, right? But we've already seen that. So it's just, to be honest, I'm just going to throw it out there. I don't really have someone for Derek. I think that in this moment, you know, another one of these guys in the middle of the pack, and let's just see about building momentum. Certainly the title picture, I will admit to you right now, it's kind of, he's not in it. I mean, right now, the, you know, Blades, Aspinall, obviously, Cyril Gane, those guys are at the top of it. I'd put Derek Lewis on the ladder, on the rung below it. Even like Jailton, I would say, okay, Jailton coming off the loss, they just fought last year. So it's like, really just wait and see. Someone I think will stand out and we go from there. But yeah, I think the thing about Derek Lewis, you just kind of want him in a fight. Another guy who has a name, I don't think he's at a spot where he's fighting an unknown in his next fight. I think you come off a main event victory, you get a guy people recognize, and you have a fun fight, and they may have to run it back with somebody.
Yeah, I think with Derek Lewis at this point, as you said, the momentum, that's the key word. Keep it going. It doesn't matter who he fights. I would say you don't want to give him not generous matchmaking, but, you know, entertaining matchmaking, I guess. We want to see a good fight. We want to see Derek Lewis be Derek Lewis. So let's match him up with people that, you know, provide that as a possibility. We want to see him. We want him to have fun. Now he says, you know, I'm 40, you know, I can't be doing this forever or something to that effect on the mic with Bisping. So yeah, that's, you know, look, I would love to see more Derek Lewis winning. You don't want to see the other result, right? But if this is the last Derek Lewis we ever see, I mean, this was a good one. I'm not saying it is, but, you know, if he wants a break, and it's a while at least, this was a good one before the break.
I mean, like, I look at this. Marcin Tybura, I feel like that's a guy out there. I'm looking. He's never fought Jairzinho Rozenstruik. I feel like Jairzinho would be fun.
That's a
I'm actually low-key shocked that he and Jairzinho, I mean, they've both fought so many of the guys, just not each other. You know what? I'll throw that one out there. Jairzinho Rozenstruik.
Okay.
Because I feel like Jairzinho also, like, that's a real, test. I feel like he's a guy who needs something like that. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Look, let's get through some highlights. They popped off in St. Louis. Carlos Olberg, what did they say? 12, 14 seconds to
Yeah,
send.
third fastest in lightweight history.
Yeah,
No,
light heavyweight.
a heavyweight too.
Sends Mr. Menafield to the Shadow Realm. You know what? He's a guy, I felt like he actually had an early stumble in his UFC career. Now he's just putting it together. Obviously, from that crew with Izzy and Dan Hooker and the City Kickboxing guys, I thought that was a great statement victory. That's the kind of thing that takes you from middle of the pack to, now you're kind of part of the show with when the City Kickboxing guys roll up, with Kai Kara France and everything. So
Yeah.
that was a good one. Diego Ferreira, I felt like the crowd just freaking ran away with that one. Good win for him. Obviously, he's been at it a long time. Anything on those two fights before I move
Yeah,
on?
the Olberg one was impressive, but also, Menafield just kind of ran in there. He got a little bit too excited and ran right into the fire. But Olberg just had him up against the cage and was holding him up with punches basically until he let him fall. So that was a good win. Fajita, that's the one that went, was that to the end, right? It was like round three. There was 14 seconds left or something. Is that the one?
Yes,
Yeah. Yeah, man, that was a good one. And he was, I don't say in trouble in round one, but he lost round one. So we can consider that a comeback. Yeah, good finishes for sure. It was a good fight night, man. Good fight night.
yeah, Chase Hooper, I
Wow.
mean, just took it to him. Like, felt like, I gotta say, I think every fighter wants to put on something like that where it's like, look, let's be real, Chase Hooper. With all due respect, he's not the most intimidating fellow on the UFC roster. I mean, you close that cage door, he freaking is like, I don't think any featherweights wanted a piece of that. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
I'm good. The way he put it on him, left that huge welt on the
Oh my God.
forehead. Oh man, I was
You
like,
know
psh.
what? I find those welts to somehow be more disturbing than like a big cut.
I agree.
Right? It's like, oh,
Because
I
the
don't want to
cut,
look
all
at
right,
that.
get some string, get some needle and thread in there, you'll be fine. But
Yeah.
the welting, it's like, oh, is
Oh
that your
God.
brain?
I
Ugh.
know, it's just, oh God, it's so disturbing. Like, and he was with Joanna Jędrzejczyk. She used to always get those. It's so hard to see.
Oh gosh,
And this
yeah,
one was
lives
really,
in
really big.
infamy.
Yeah, man, so big. Did you? But there was a controversy. Did you think it was a tap? What did you think?
I th no tap,
I also did
bad
not.
positioning.
Yeah.
Sorry, I think. And now, okay, I'll say this: no tap.
On the way to a tap.
On the way to losing, I'll tell you
Yeah.
that. I did
Yeah.
not see a rally in his future.
Yeah.
That being said, you know what? To be fair, you deserve to, go to the final bell and, try to make something happen. Unfair, but bro, you needed to make adjustments on that one. Sorry to say.
Yeah, it was tricky. I didn't think it was a tap either. And when they replay it from all the angles, it looks like he's just trying to find the body to like just see where he is, sort of like when you're in the dark and you're looking for the light switch. But he did it with all fingers extended, and so that's the same gesture that you might have as a tap if you're tapping.
I mean, no
But
one can know what'll happen, but from my vantage point, he wasn't about to come back the way Chase was on.
yeah, I don't think he was either. I don't think
Yeah.
he was either, but it is frustrating. Not a tap. He had his thumb up right before that, the whole time, so it is what it is.
Tough luck. By the way, Esteban Ribovic, I mean, he didn't need much time, just, gets T-Rex Terrence McKinney out of there. That was another. Anytime you get that full stop from a head kick, that's pretty bad. So,
It was bad, and because he was wearing a white mouthpiece, it almost looked creepy because like he looked like he was smiling as he was like knocked out against the cage.
oof, yeah,
It was a bad one, man. Whew.
the fans in St. Louis got spoiled. They had a
They
great
did. They
card.
had a good card, yeah.
Oh
And
yeah.
Dana White was there, like, jeez.
Yeah, I think that you know what because. No, I think it's Kentucky. I'm noticing a little more like especially with the TKO partnership. Like, we're hearing more about, WWE and UFC, like, the whole weekend. Like, about a few weeks from now in Kentucky, they're doing like a Friday, Saturday night. WWE is going to be using the Apex for one of their shows.
That's crazy.
I mean, it's so I think he's just kind of showing face a little more on the business side. And we're hearing, well, I mean, almost ironically, the Apex is still getting a lot of use, but per Dana and a lot of reports, it'll be less for fight nights. So,
Oh, thank goodness.
yeah, I think that, well, ironically, I mean, we're a few fight nights away from UFC Apex 100. So, another centennial. Can you believe it?
You think they were just trying to get to 100 to have like a thing and then they can start scaling back?
Excuse
Bless
me,
you.
it's like
Bless
right
you.
when you asked me, and I'm like,
I
oh
know.
man, bad time. No, I'm not gonna lie though, I think part of them now kind of just wants it for that little bit of a, when it's like you kind of just want to complete it just for the sake of completing it now that
Yes,
you're
I
so
totally
close.
understand that. Yep.
I'd be lying if I said it probably doesn't feel that way just for me, and I don't have any skin in the game, so
Yeah.
yeah. Good sign though for the fans. I mean, more shows like that, I think you wouldn't complain, you know what I mean? So,
Yeah.
anyway, there wasn't any major breaking news, at least in my opinion. So, we're mostly going to treat it as chatter around town. A lot of the stuff that was going on, even if it wasn't the biggest deal. First one, Jorge Masvidal and Nate Diaz, the rematch, is moving from the Forum in Inglewood on June 1st to the Honda Center in Anaheim on July 6th. For a lot of people, when you looked at the website, there was still a lot of tickets available. And then, so that's on the live gate aspect from the business. And then the pay-per-view, if we're being honest, it was expected to probably not do well for the simple fact that it was also going head-to-head with UFC 302 on the same night,
Yeah.
Poirier versus Islam. You're not really promoting it to boxing fans, if we're being honest. They were going to be competing exactly for the demographic that already was committed to UFC, and that's the MMA UFC fan that knows Jorge and knows Nate, right? So I think that should have always been the move. Now, I get it. UFC is on every week. It's sometimes hard to find a Saturday where you're not going to have that issue. But I think this is a good move. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, if you have to get out of the way if a big, train's coming in your direction. So they were not going to be able to compete with UFC 302. So smart move. I am bummed that it's, I mean, not like I was going to go, but the Forum is such a cool place to have had that fight. Honda Center is much bigger, right? This is going to
Yes.
be, yes, harder to fill the seats. But they're still keeping it in the area, SoCal. Forum's cool, but Honda Center's definitely had some big events, UFC events and whatnot there, so it's a fitting place. I'm kind of bummed to hear that the numbers aren't looking great yet, but it's a tough one because, Nate didn't look good against, what's his name, Jake
Jake
Paul,
Paul.
and Jorge routed him for the BMF. Like, it was a really good performance by Jorge Masvidal. So I think maybe people are wondering, like, okay, well, what are we actually going to see here? Are these guys going to get after it, or are they just going to, do their best, which is very different than getting after it. So also the press conference, there was a press conference a few weeks ago. Nate Diaz got up and left, I think,
Yep.
typical Nate Diaz. And like, at that point, it just felt gimmicky. Didn't feel natural. Masvidal almost smiled. He was fighting a smile. So there's no beef between these guys. And so what do you do to get people excited about it? I don't really know. They have their own unique brands that sort of exist on a similar plane, but they're still very different people, even though they're, yeah, like the original BMFs, right?
I mean, like I'm in my office. I still have that BMF poster off to the side. It was such a
Yeah.
perfect storm. I think
Perfect
that
storm.
you gotta call it for what it is. I think that the UFC brand is so huge. I also think where they are in this moment, like when I look at that objectively, take the dollars out of it, I
Yeah.
look at where's Jorge at right now? Where's Nate? I expect those two. If you told me they're fighting next week, full camp, they're probably going to have a decent boxing fight, all things considered. Look at him, look at him. Why not? Now, let's talk about the big picture. Like, for example, Tyson Fury finally has that unifier for all the belts with Usyk this Saturday. Pay-per-view, gotta pay for it. Islam Makhachev against Dustin Poirier. Is this is probably Dustin Poirier's last fight if he doesn't win the title, right? Fan favorite, look what he did at 299. Islam, Habib's protege, etc., etc., etc. At $80, another one again. You look at the other stuff. I mean, how much does it cost to have ESPN Plus, Netflix, and everything they have going on now? Shoot, Jake Paul and Mike Tyson is coming up. I think that without that help of the UFC brand, there's just so much air being sucked out of the room. You know what I mean? So that when you're trying to put on a fight for like 60, $70 and you're trying to ask the fans to commit to just the one fight and not the whole brand and everything it gives you, that's the Grand Canyon. I think that's what PFL keeps finding. I think that's what a lot of these companies keep finding is like you could put on good fights and you could sell the story and you could get them on the mic, but at the end of the day, when it comes time to run your credit card information and everything else, fans weigh their options and they decide whether or not it's worth it to them. And I think that's the Grand Canyon for everybody, not just Jorge Nate. And I think that's just what you're seeing. It's not that they don't objectively like Nate or like Jorge, but I think there's just this feeling that, like, wait, how many things am I paying for? Okay, yeah, I'm definitely gonna just, that mentality, someone will post it, which is horrible because I'm sorry, do you not want fighters to get paid? Or I get it, you do, but not at the cost of your wallet. Is that what you're saying? Okay, that's horrible, but here we are.
I mean, you got to make tough choices. That's it's like a it's a good problem to have as a fan. Tough situation to be in when you're a promoter because there are so many options and only so many dollars.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And once again, the UFC brand is just so powerful that it's like, and I hate to bring this up. Okay, they're not going head to head with Islam Makhachev. You want to know what's 1 week before Jorge Nate 2 now? Conor McGregor.
Jeez. Oh boy.
I mean, you're expecting the same demographic to pay for that one too, no? Here we are. Anyway, so there's stuff to figure out on that end. Some more stuff going around. Jon Jones recommits essentially to the fight with Stipe Miocic. He kind of did that thing where he throws some questions out there, and because it's him, we kind of run with it in terms of articles and all that. And he kind of entertained, oh, well, if I'm going to take a fight, I'm going to fight Pereira. Why would I want to fight Tom Aspinall? Tom Aspinall is only big in Europe. And then after all that, he's just like, oh yeah, guys, I'm just fighting Stipe again. Or fighting Stipe. And it's like, oh, well, that's a few articles and things on the feed that I've had to sit through, but okay, whatever.
But I mean, that's what he does, right? Not surprising. Just teases and then, resets, tease, reset. So, but it does keep the week going. So I ain't mad at it necessarily.
I mean, it's just one of those things that it's like, okay, Now, it did raise the question that I think a lot of fans like to have. Let's say he takes one more after Stipe. What's the bigger fight, Pereira or Aspinall?
Bigger fight is Pereira,
Right?
but the smarter fight for Jon Jones, I think, is actually take it back. The smarter fight for Tom Aspinall, I think. Let me rephrase myself. Who has a better chance of beating Jon Jones, Aspinall Pereira? I think it's Aspinall, just because he's already been at heavyweight.
I agree.
Different, you're used to fighting the bigger guys. You're used to moving with the bigger body,
And he's very athletic too.
and
He's
he's very athletic.
deceptively fast for a guy his size.
Extremely, extremely. Not that Pereira can't handle himself, but he's already been, doing this moving up, getting a belt thing. And I'm not saying he can't do it at heavyweight, but that's too much of a challenge, I think. But on paper, dollars, of course, Pereira is the way bigger fight.
Yeah, I think he's the man of the moment right now. I think Tom Aspinall is getting there. I think that going back to it, we talked about this with Jon Jones, this idea of like he's the champion. Like Jon Jones is the champion, but Tom Aspinall is the best heavyweight right now. That's how I feel about it. And to be fair, you can objectively want to watch both. You can objectively want to see the best MMA fighter of all time. And you could want to watch the best heavyweight right now. And they both are absolutely talented, worth your time and attention. That you there's not there doesn't have to be this, schism between, who and this and that. However, the UFC has kind of put themselves there with this, well, John's keeping the belt essentially to sell the fight bigger. But I don't know how you can look at Tom's recent resume and say that's not the best heavyweight right now. Just beat Spivak, beat Pavlovich. I mean, what more you want? There's a good chance he's fighting Curtis Blaydes next, gets that one. I mean, what are we doing, guys? You know what I mean? So that's how I feel about that. And then look, for Jon Jones, I've said it so many times. That fight last March with Ciryl Gane, people could have cared less about that amazing undercard. This was the Jon Jones show. The amount of attention, the amount of VIPs who were like, oh, yeah, you guys can't sit there. Why not? Because we have to reserve seats because there were more requests because it's Jon bleeping Jones. It's completely okay, but this is where we are. So anyway, that's just my thing about John Bones, and how you figure that out. Yeah. That being said, the man of the moment is Pereira. I agree with you. The tougher fight is Tom Aspinall. And once again, secure the bag. Tom Aspinall should always have that door open for John Jones. I just don't think it's gonna happen. I think that John Jones, unless a lot of money is thrown at him and he feels fantastic, but I don't know how you could look at his resume, his age, take into account the layoff, and say this guy wants to risk everything with a fight tougher than Stipe Miocic. I just don't.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense
Like
because
he's
it's
right there on
like
the cusp of Habib status, retire on the dub with the belt.
And I doubt a fight against Aspinall is going to end like lickety split. And if Jon Jones is on the losing end of it, it's not going to be a good, it's not going to be look good on his highlight. You're not going to be able to add it to his highlight reel, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
Yeah, so.
absolutely. So, but yeah, if you ask me, if I had to see one fight tomorrow for Jon Jones that's not Stipe, I'd go Pereira. Just I think the whole hype and everything. I think that Pereira's kind of cracked the code on his own promotion, but Tom Aspinall would be the tougher fight for Jon,
For
for sure.
sure.
The final one, the UFC and Riyadh season, read Saudi Arabia Tourism, are extending their partnership. So they have their fight night coming up in June with Rob Whittaker and Khamzat Chimaev. They're also going to get a pay-per-view very likely in early 2025. And Riyadh will also be one of the big sponsors of the Sphere event in September. Remember
Oh,
that one, a
geez. Yeah.
pay-per-view? I believe it's 305 on the
Okay.
number. What are your thoughts on this one?
Well, you know, the there's money there, and
Really? How
why not
much?
take it? I worry, you know, just in general, you don't want to put all your eggs into so many of your eggs into one basket. But I don't know how the UFC's books are cooked and are handled, I should say. So you know, it is what it is. We're getting good fights because of this infusion of interest and cash, and so I'm not mad at that. But I, this is sort of new news that they're going to be now sponsoring content on the mainland over here. I mean, maybe they were already, and I just didn't know. But yeah, the Sphere, I'm pretty excited about that, whatever it shakes out to be. Are you going to try to make your way to the Sphere in September for this?
Oh, I mean, to be quite honest, it's my job, no? But
Well, yes, I know, I know, I
yes,
know.
yes, absolutely. I've seen the outside of the sphere. It is as trippy as you'd imagine. I'm not someone who uses recreational substances, but I can imagine what it'd be like to be on them and then see that thing. I'll tell you that right now.
It seems like a true distraction to drivers. And I don't know if there's been more crashes since this thing has come up, but it just feels
I
like it
think
would
people drive more
completely.
carefully because they're driving slow to see it,
Okay,
ironically.
fair point. Yeah, that makes sense.
No, so I think the thing with Riyadh, so here's my one split about it. Like I just talked about it. You want to see fighters get paid, no? They earned it, they deserve it, they put their lives on the line. I certainly don't want to read stories about this guy who gave me so many exciting fights, you know, can't pay his medical insurance because of XYZ, right? So the
Yeah.
idea of a Riyadh being able to help financially on that end to the athletes that put it out there, I like that. As a fan and consumer in the West, I can understand a little bit of like, well, I want to enjoy all these fights, but they're all going and, you know, with respect, it's not a coupon type vacation to go to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia,
Yeah.
you know? So it's like, well, I want to see these things, but they're all going over there, which is very hard for people on many, a good chunk of people on our end of the hemisphere to get there.
Yeah.
So I also can understand it as a consumer on, from that point of view. That being said, I feel like it's the pay-per-view is still what the pay-per-view is. I think that anytime you have this much money involved, it opens up the doors for everything that could be possible domestically as well. So my main hope is that after all this is that hopefully this does lead to more events, more pageantry, and essentially make everything feel even more special, similar to, you know, the fight between Francis Ngannou and Tyson Fury. That was a whole shebang. I love the idea that if there's that many dollars involved, that a UFC pay-per-view would look more like that. Because I think it would make it more epic for us to watch. That being said, you know, let me tell you something. It wasn't easy to get to the Middle East. It's a long flight.
Long flight.
There's only so many movies, you know? You get tired. You know, you try to snack, but you just still get hungry again, and there's no real kitchen in the air, so. You get what I'm saying. Yeah, so that's my feelings on the whole Riyadh thing, but obviously like we talked about it. They're investing 1 trillion. Let me say that again so you understand. Trillion. Let me spell it capital TRILLION.
That's crazy, man.
I mean, I don't we talked about this. I don't know that I could physically count to a trillion. I think something bad would happen to my voice before I actually get to the end.
That's
So
true. Good point.
that's, I mean, when you're operating with that money, what the heck do you care what I think? So,
We
anyway.
are but a blip to them.
Just that little tiny one, like in Marvel. Anyway, let's talk about some fights that are going to be right over here, not too far away in lovely Las Vegas. Let's start with the UFC main event, Edson Barboza taking on Lerone Murphy. At featherweight, obviously Edson Barboza coming off that great win over Sadiq Youssef. Let's be real. Looked like it may not go his way. Ends up kind of having his little bit of his moment. I'm done when I say I'm done. Undefeated Lerone Murphy though. So obviously English talent, breakout fight. 32 years old, 13-0-1. One draw, you know, being that. I mean, this guy been in UFC since 2019. He's been putting in work. I think when I look at his record, this is by far the most recognizable guy on his resume. This is clearly the most high-profile spot, being a headliner for a fight night. There's every reason to believe that he should have the weapons and arsenal to do it. That being said, it's Edson Barboza. If you are not dialed in, he still has all the tools to make this a rough night for you. What are your thoughts?
Exactly. It's like Derek Lewis, except, not quite with the, well, yeah, that's sort of similar,
Derek
right?
Lewis, but he keeps his pants on.
Yeah, but he keeps the pants, like, so say the record is different, but actually no, they've both had some losses recently. So, yeah, it's like we know what you're capable of, and when you can tap into that, you can really shine and give like amazing performances. So that's Edson Barboza that's still in there even though he's 38. And Lerone Murphy is 32, So not a spring chicken, but you could say in his prime, with that record going up against Edson Barboza, this is an opportunity for him to, you know, make a name for himself. But I'm not ready to count Edson out just yet. He's still got those wicked kicks. He's still got that wicked speed, that physique that, you know, you can't hold a candle to it. And so I expect this to be a really good, like, back and forth fight. They're going to get after it. And is this the Apex? Sorry.
Yeah, 92. Yeah. So we are eight away from another centennial, probably in 2024.
So, look, I'm Lerone Murphy for all his attributes. I think Edson Barboza is still going to be able to, you know, like Toby Keith, not as good as he once was, but as good once as he ever was. And that is what we're going to see on Saturday night. So I'm going to predict an Edson Barboza win via unanimous decision. There's going to be some bloodshed. It's going to be a good back and forth, but Barboza gets it done.
You know what? I'm going to roll with my guy, Lerone Murphy.
Okay.
I think that he's going to probably take some notes from the Sadiq fight. He knows he doesn't want to be the repeat. He doesn't want to be part of the, you know, Edson Barboza renaissance over here.
Yeah.
That being said, obviously, I'm with you there. Edson, I mean, Edson just doesn't get into bad fights. It's kind of like Justin Gaethje, right? So I think that that's going to actually make for a fun matchup. I think that Lerone's going to look to use his grappling. This isn't 2012. This isn't 2008. The Brits can all grapple. They all have wrestling and jiu-jitsu coaches over across the pond now.
Right.
I think that Lerone's going to put it all together. May not always be exciting at times, but he's going to get to the spots he needs to and just methodical, you know, back and forth. But I think he's going to get enough spots to take the decision over Mr. Barboza.
Okay.
I think Edson's feeling good, but I think Lerone, this is exactly the moment, and he's game for it, you know? So, Lerone Murphy for the win on my end.
Decision or?
Decision.
Okay.
Yeah, he ain't going to roll over.
I know, if Khabib couldn't finish him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what more do you want, right?
Yeah.
And then I did want to cap it off. Probably the best fighter competing this weekend, Patchy Mix. In Bellator Paris, so once again we get another, you know, another taste of the Champion Series and their second event on HBO Max. So I think more of us to kind of dissect a little bit broadcast wise.
Yeah.
But rematching Magomedov, look, Patchy. What else can I say about him? Won the Grand Prix, defended the title against Sergio Pettis, and. For want of a better word, I mean, this guy, a lot of people felt like when PFL acquired Bellator that it's like, why didn't Patchy just jump ship? One, because he signed an extension before the merger. So to be clear, Patchy isn't going anywhere for a long time. There isn't, don't bother asking him how many fights he has. He's probably got about 2 years at least. With PFL. So I don't think, and mind you, unless something drastic happens, they're not going to just release him just because, I want to see him fight Sean O'Malley or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I think you got to just put that aside for a long time now and just enjoy what we do have available for Patchy. Now, talking about Magomedov, he's been a little up and down, lost to Rafion Stotts, had that loss to Patchy Mix. That being said, this is a solid bantamweight, great record, win over Peter Yan, pre-Bellator and UFC for the both of them.
Yeah.
Coming off the win over another, you know, big bantamweight for Bellator and Danny Sabatello. I think that you got to acknowledge this guy wants that one back against Patchy Mix. That makes for a fun fight. What about you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you look at Patchy Mix's record from 2021. He's had only one fight go the distance. Everything's been a finish. Now, arm triangle, round three, Morales. Gallagher, round three, guillotine. Horiguchi was the only decision fight. Yeah. Magomedov, guillotine, round two. Rafion Stotts, knee, round one. Sergio Pettis, rear naked choke, round two. So, Patchy Mix is a finisher, right? This guy, and even before that, I don't need to go read the whole record, but most of his fights... Most of his victories are by a finish. Very few have been decision wins or even the one decision loss to Archuleta. The guy goes out there to get it done. So they both have pretty stellar records. 19, basically undefeated for Patrick Mixer. He's got like a no contest there or something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, the loss to Archuleta. I read that wrong. So one loss. Magomedov, 20-3. These guys are getting after it. You know, this is going to be an interesting fight. Patchy Mix, I think we'll get it done. But when you're coming back from a loss and you're coming back, you know, now it's the new promotion. You want to make a name for yourself. You don't mess around, right? You want to show who's top cat at bantamweight. So I think it's going to be a like not a drawn out fight. Maybe Patchy Mix can get it done round three. Say some kind of submission. That's what I'm going to pick. But it's going to be a good fight, man. They're going to get after it.
So I spoke with Patchy. He wants another rear naked choke finish.
Okay.
He talked to me. I've never gotten the same finish over the same guy. Guillotine. He just, so the fact is he wants to repeat the same finish. I think
that's
he wants
ice
a little
cold.
Bit. Yeah, for the, you know. And look, to his credit, you know, he acknowledged it. He knows the fans. It's not that we don't want to see Patchy Mix. Let me make it clear. I think a lot of fans want to see how far he can take it. I think, though, he kind of put himself in this box is that right when he won the Grand Prix and now beating Sergio Pettis, he's kind of run the table with everyone there pretty dominantly. Magomed, Rafion, you mm-hmm. know, that it's like, where can you really go from here at bantamweight with Bellator? And Danny Sabatello is out there if he gets this victory. Obviously, you could do a trilogy if he were to lose to Magomedov. But talking with him, he's like, look, I just need to remind people how good I am. He did talk about, you know, just trying to outdo himself, not really look at it as, oh, I got to fight Magomedov again. So I think that's a great mentality to have. And he did say down the line, the door is open. I mean, featherweight, Patricio Pitbull, I mean, wouldn't hate it. Jose Aldo hasn't signed a new contract as far as I've heard. I'm sure PFL would love to have a conversation about, hey, do you want to fight? Do you want a pay-per-view? You know, Jake Paul, someone like that in the main event, bring some money in. I mean, I think there are options out there. It's just in this moment with the current Bellator bantamweight roster, I can't imagine as a fan, it's like, well, you know, I get it. You know, you feel like the UFC roster is this or that. And when you've already seen him fight the other guys, I get it. It's harder to get that attention that I do think a guy like Patchy deserves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So. And then, by the way, also, like, I'd say most dominant power couple we've ever had in MMA. I mean, him and Tatiana Suarez. So, like, you know, a bunch of the other MMA couples, sometimes there's one or the other. I mean, both of them are killers. Like,
yeah, I know, yeah. They're both killers. And, yeah, like, you think, well, Paige VanZant and, what's his
Austin.
Name? Vanderfloot, yeah.
Okay, to be fair, they got together right when Paige, like, almost stopped fighting.
Yeah, yeah. She had killer moments, right? You know,
yes.
Beck Rawlings, like,
yeah.
There are moments like that. But she was just a bigger name, period, regardless of her fighting abilities. Who else? Misha Tate. What was that guy's name? Brian Caraway?
Oh, my God. Let's not talk about that one. That one went off the rails.
She was always the bigger name.
They were
name
okay
there.
For
I mean,
a moment, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I get you.
Johnny Nunes. I mean, Johnny Nunes, right? That's who she's
oh,
with
yeah,
now.
He's
he seems
good.
Like a wonderful guy. And I don't know. Is he still fighting or? I'm not sure.
I feel bad. I don't know the answer.
I don't know the answer. I'm not trying to put you
I don't think he is because I felt like that was a very... I think that was something when they were together under the one umbrella.
Yeah, yeah. And she's look, man, sometimes you gotta, in a relationship, like, you take turns.
It's so okay just...
Her turn right now.
It's okay to just celebrate a strong, independent woman. Let me
exactly.
just say that.
There you go.
Well, maybe independent's the wrong word, but you get what I mean. She handles
yeah,
her stuff.
She's good, yeah.
Yeah.
I have an unrelated Bellator question.
Hit me
question
with
to
it.
You. The gloves, the UFC gloves.
Oh, yeah.
They're coming out, right? You said 302?
Yes.
Or no? Yeah,
And I think
so.
it seems like a few fighters have actually gotten them already to kind of get the feel for before the fight.
Has anyone been giving providing any input? Any has anyone been saying yes, no, maybe so?
So they did a whole presentation for us at 300.
Yeah.
They talked a lot about, just they're a little sleeker. The point was to make it something that was not necessarily just kind of like there to protect the knuckles and,
Yeah,
just
I saw the
pad
whole video, the big long thing with the
it.
lady and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Quite, quite the
Yes, it was
info dump
actually
there.
very informative, and I really appreciate it because I love, look, getting the
It
inside
answered all the
scoop.
questions, right?
Yeah, they did. I was like,
I think so. Here's the thing. I think we haven't had enough litmus test. I think what we're gonna see. One, let's look at the statistics on the eye pokes, because that's the biggest thing. The thing that a lot of fighters talk about is that the gloves, the UFC gloves themselves with your hand wraps, are actually harder to stay closed, just because, essentially, your hand is so big with the wraps that when you try to make a fist with that little bit of leather, it almost like uncurls it. So it's actually very hard to really like squeeze your hand, in the old UFC gloves. So I think
Yeah.
that's a thing. Is it ergonomically built? I believe that's a way to say it, to be able to curl the way you need
Okay.
to.
Yeah.
And I've heard mixed things about whether or not it can. I think we're gonna have to wait and see. Another thing is, obviously breaking them in a bit when you get your gloves and inspection, and having them in a way that like they're naturally just already rolled out. They're not so stiff that you have to have your
Yeah.
corner and everything the night of the fight trying to break them in 2 hours and all that other stuff. You know what I mean? So I think that's the biggest test. But I love the design. We got to try them on. I mean, I
Oh,
don't
you did.
fight.
Okay.
Yeah,
Right on.
I mean, look, I don't fight, so everything just kind of feels a little bit the same, you know? It's kind of
Did they let you
like.
do like an AB, like here's the old one, here's the new one,
We did not, actually.
Oh,
I think
okay.
that would have been good, but yeah. So yeah, I think that's really the answer is how do they curl with the hand wraps on?
Yeah.
I will say, because they look so much smaller, I don't know. That looks like it doesn't look like it would be better. If anything, I almost feel like it looks like it would be worse for keeping your fist curled up, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I thought that too watching the video, but we
I mean,
shall
all the
see.
gloves look like they should have a more natural curl, but
Yeah.
maybe that's just me. Like the leather has to be tough in order for it to, and I think they said it's sleeker, so there's less chance for leather like a scratch, like if you miss a punch and it slips.
Yeah.
There's a little less leather for it to potentially cut your opponent and fights end from cuts. So, but yeah,
What did
those are. Go
yeah,
ahead.
yeah. But, no, I was gonna say, what did you think of the colors, the having different colors for different types of fights, promotion, like with Dana White championship, or sorry, contender series is what I meant to say. Dana White contender series, championship fights, and then the regular black.
Makes complete sense. Part of me did wonder if there was a little bit of a marketing aspect involved. Like,
Right.
oh, like it's not just a black UFC glove and that's all they sell. Oh, we could sell more by making them in blue.
Yeah, cha-ching,
The
cha-ching.
thing I love, the gold gloves, I think that's a touch that's been long overdue. I actually forget, I don't know if just the champion gets gold or also the challenger, but
Oh, good question.
I
I
think.
don't know. I assumed it would be both, but you're right. It's
I'll be
the shirt.
honest. I think
Yeah.
you gotta only the champ gets gold gloves.
Only the champ gets the gold. And then, but then.
You want to take the gold literally. You gotta, And then if you have a champ fight, you both get gold.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
Interesting.
makes it more special.
We'll find. Oh, no, I was going to say, yeah, we'll find out, right?
With
302.
Islam, yeah.
Dustin Poirier gets gold gloves. Yeah, because the shirts, the
The
champ gets the
only
shirt.
champ fight kit. Yep. So.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Just thinking, that's how
Yeah.
I would do my marketing, but that's
Are
just
you
me.
mad that Tuff didn't get its own color?
No, I
I'm
mean,
just kidding.
come on. They'll be fine. I
They
think they
should have.
just get the blank gloves still, so yeah.
That's funny, man. Tough.
I thought, I'm not gonna lie, I found it very hilarious, the red gloves, and you realize how few people are watching The Road to UFC with the Chinese and other Asian talent.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's the red one for? And it's like, Road to UFC. And they're like, oh, yeah. And it's like, do you not watch? You know? I'm not, hey, to be fair, those things are happening at like 1 a.m.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not
I
watching
got
them,
work in the
actually.
morning.
Yep.
But they pop off. So good for them.
Yeah. All
Yeah.
right. Cool.
That's how I felt about it. But anyway, look, good stuff. Off week next week, Natalie. So we'll just have a lot of recapping. Hopefully some things break, and so we have a lot to talk about. But until then, guys, please like, comment, subscribe. It helps out the show. And until then, have a good one.